executive in Hollywood like me. I think I'm probably the last of the creative types to run a company like this. They want MBAs, accountants. He shakes his head. Eisner brings up the subject of ABC and acknowledges that prime time isn't showing any signs of improvement. We turned around the studio, he reminds me. The board insisted that I step in and personally oversee it, and I did. I could do the same thing at ABC if I spent one day a week there and focused on it. Why don't you? I asked, which seems an obvious question. Because I can't pull the rug out from under Bob, he replies, sounding frustrated. Since he has delegated responsibility for the network to Iger, he explains he can't undermine him by substituting his judgment. But if things don't improve by May, there's going to be a big change, he says somewhat ominously. There have been persistent rumors that Eisner will replace Iger, even that Eisner has approached Peter Chernin, the highly regarded president of 20th Century Fox, about coming to Disney. Iger has heard it so many times that he has asked Eisner if it was true. Eisner has denied it. The situation was increasingly frustrating for Iger, who called various executives outside of Disney to complain. In one of these conversations, he said, I just feel every time I pick up a magazine I read there isn't any successor. I'm invisible. No one takes me seriously. I'm miserable. Iger said that while he may have mused with people from time to time about quitting, he doesn't recall ever saying he was miserable, and in fact has enjoyed his tenure as Disney's president. When we arrive at the rehearsal studio on 42nd Street, Thomas Schumacher is in charge, and the creative team has gathered, composer and songwriter Phil Collins, writer Henry David Wang, director and set designer Bob Crowley. The table read features a full cast, a small orchestra, and the performance is far more polished and professional than I'd expected. There are about 40 people in the audience, which responds with prolonged applause. Though everyone, including Eisner, seems aware that Disney's remarkable string of Broadway successes is bound to end sometime, the buzz in the room lends Tarzan the feel of another hit. Afterward, the creative team gathers with Eisner in an adjoining room. I think it's great, Eisner begins. It's further along at this point than any show we've had before. I have one idea. I finally figured out why the movie didn't make $200 million. There's a flaw. The ending of the movie is unsatisfying. It turns into a TV show. In both the Disney animated film and in this musical, Tarzan, having been raised by apes, discovers he's human and falls in love with Jane. The climax comes when he has to decide whether to return to England with Jane or remain with his ape family. Tarzan chooses the apes, and Jane impulsively stays with him in the jungle. A predictably happy ending. We should not do the Disney film ending, Eisner continues. Do the ending in the book. The apes send Tarzan back to England. Let the apes conclude that he is now the man and should go back into his jungle. Man is the animal. The animals are men. This is what author Edgar Rice Burroughs did. Why did we do it this way? This pronouncement seems to leave the group speechless. It did do $175 million, Schumacher finally says.